Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, if we can get started with the meeting for today. Just start by way of introduction. So myself, Councillor Afsar, will be chairing the meeting today, the Planning Committee meeting of the 28th of November 2023. I'll just start by making some introductions on the top table. So to my right, I've got Naomi Perry, Barbara Toy, Alan Harvey, planning officers. To the left, I've got John Teasdale, legal representative, and Democratic Services Officer Daniel Corkett. If I can just ask the committee members to introduce themselves.
Good afternoon, Councillor Syed Hussain.
Bev Ashcroft.
Councillor Colin Whittaker.
Chris Medley.
Thank you. We'll just start with some housekeeping rules, please. If I could remind everybody to switch off their mobile phones. We're not expecting a live fire drill, so if we do hear the fire alarm go, we'll just proceed out the door you came from back onto the main car park. A polite notice, please, not to call out when individuals are speaking, as it will prevent others from hearing the debate. Any speaker will be allowed 3 minutes to speak, which will be shown on the clock behind us. We'll move on to the agenda. Item number one. Do we have any apologies for absence?
Thank you, Chair. There are no apologies.
Agenda item number two. Do we have any declarations of interest? No declarations of interest. Agenda item number three. Would members please accept the minutes from the last meeting held on the 24th of October 2023?
Can I just ask a question about the minutes, or actually the decision? At that meeting, we agreed to recommend something, approve something, subject to ownership of some land being established within 28 days. Has that been done? Did that happen?
Yes, it did, yeah.
Oh, great. Okay, thanks.
So can I have a proposer for the minutes, please? Councillor Whittaker, thank you. Can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Ashcroft. Can I see a show of hands for all those four, please? Any against? Any abstentions? Do you have any urgent business to be brought to the committee's attention? No urgent business, thank you. We'll move on to the first planning application for today. Planning application P20220149, which is for the demolition of existing buildings to facilitate the erection of 44 dwellings together with associated access road, external works, car parking and landscaping, former Uttoxeter household waste site, Pennycroft Lane, Uttoxeter, ST147BW. I'll now pass it on to the case officer to present the application. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, this relates to the household waste site at Uttoxeter. It's an application, as you say, for 44 dwellings. It's made by Trent and Dove, and all the dwellings are affordable houses and would be subject to Section 106 if approved. In terms of the application site, as we went out today, it encompasses 1.38 hectares of land and is located at the northeastern periphery of Uttoxeter. The application site itself is accessed off the southern side of Pennycroft Lane. As you can see, Pennycroft Park is on the other side of the road, directly opposite. Dove Way lies to the east, but there's no connection in terms of the highway across there. A public footpath runs across the northern part of the application site, although isn't actually directly affected by it. Wider access is taken from Cheadle Road, and as you can see from the slide, the town centre is to the south. Now, as we talked about this morning on site, the application site has been subject previously to an application in 2014. That was approved for residential development, and that was for 49 houses. Consequently, there was a subject of a series of applications to discharge the conditions for the mitigation of contamination on the site, with it being the former household waste site. That has taken place on site, and as members saw today, there's a number of areas of cell-set green space has arisen, which I'll deal with as the presentation continues. Just go a few through slides now, just to remind, obviously, members from this morning. So that's the access onto Pennycroft Lane from Park Street. That's the adjoining properties on Park Street and on Laurel Grove. You've got the mast that we passed. That's outside the application site and will remain. This is a view across the site towards the entrance, and that's going to be off Pennycroft Lane. The existing site entrance from Pennycroft Lane. And then moving round, that's in the back corner of the site, with the dwellings on Laurel Grove there to the right-hand side. Looking immediately to the south, that's the building that's going to be demolished as part of the site, and obviously the hearth landing will be taken up as part of the development. Again, looking towards the southern boundary, the trees, all of which will be retained. We talked about this because it was fenced off, but this is the water course that runs through the application site. As you can see, there are trees on either side of it, and then there's a concrete channel that runs through the middle. There's been some discussion about, in terms of the water course and it being left open. That's a requirement of the Environment Agency. As riparian owners of the site, the applicants will be responsible for the future maintenance of that area, as per any normal water course. That's looking towards the southeastern area of the site, towards Dove Way. And again, finally, that's looking towards the public footpath and over towards Dove Way. So bring it to the application site itself and the proposed development. As I say, it's a scheme of 44 affordable dwelling units off a single access with external works, car parking and landscaping. 34 of the units are for rental purposes and 10 will be for shared ownership. All the units are two stories in height, as we'll see. So just taking a little bit of a view in terms of the streetscape, that looks the frontage as it goes along Pennycroft Lane, so will be the entrance to the site. And then there's the dwellings that would be adjacent to Laurel Grove. Just a few perspectives. We stood at that gate this morning and looked towards what was the back of the houses at Laurel Grove, and that's a perspective of what you're likely to see. And again, just looking around the site. So there's a consistency in the development in terms of the materials, the brick and boarding and tile roofs. In the bottom corner of the application site was the site for the flats. And again, in perspective, that's what they will look like. They'll have a shared car parking area. All the car parking meets the standards of the County Council Highway Authority. Finally, again, we talked about landscaping, so you've got the core of the application site with the water course running through the centre, which will be retained as the open water course, and then that area will be planted up and retained as a green hub in the central area of the site. You've also got additional hedge planting along the boundaries, which is a traditional and native hawthorn hedge, and along the front is some low-key planting. And you've also got additional trees. You've got 33 numbering total to replace the 8 that will be removed to facilitate the development of the site. So in terms of the consultations, obviously I could read through them, but essentially we've obviously spent over a year working with all the different consultees, and there are no objections from any statutory undertakers. So that includes the Highway Authority, the Environment Agency, Severn Trent Water, and the Flood Authority, and obviously people are content in terms of the public rights of way. In terms of the off-site provision, there's requirements for education, health and open spaces, and I'll come to that towards the end because there's a viability issue. In terms of the Town Council, they in general support the scheme, welcome the fact that it's going to bring back the site into a sustainable use. They've also raised a number of issues in terms of Section 106 funding, which again I'll pick up at the end. Also requiring that swift boxes and bead bricks are provided, which they have been. They did talk about wanting additional traffic mitigation. However, again, the County Highway are content with the development. They were content, obviously, with 49, and as we discussed this morning, when the scheme was first came forward in 2016, it actually reduces the level of traffic from what it was as the household waysite. There were no comments from ward members. In terms of the local residents, only three residents have made comment. They wish to ensure there was no access off Eaton Street and Gas Street, which there isn't, and there's a condition ensuring that that doesn't change into the future, and that there are robust boundary treatments erected, and that's also been done. You've got a combination of brick and fence at the junction there. Local plan policies are the ones that members will be familiar with now, so along with the national policies in the MPPF. Also, you've got the new Toxteter Neighbourhood Plan and all the SPDs relating to separation distances and standards, parking requirements, open spaces, climate change, the planning obligations and waste storage and collection guidance. These have all been factored into the development process, and indeed it's one of the reasons why there are 44 dwellings now being proposed to ensure that all the space standards in terms of back gardens, distances between existing dwellings are all met. So bringing through in terms of all the various planning considerations, the site is an acceptable site, it's within the settlement boundary, has an extent lawful permission for residential development. In terms of the design and impact on the character of the area, it's considered that it's a suitable density design for its setting, and it will significantly enhance the character and appearance of the locality, and obviously return that former household waysite into economic use. In terms of amenities, there's no adverse impact on residential amenities as a result of overbearing or overlooking impacts, given that separation distances are all met, nor is it considered noise issues will arise. During the construction phase, conditions are in place for noise, dust management and working hours. In terms of highway safety, it's considered that the scheme raises no adverse highway issues and that the public right-of-way that crosses the site will be safeguarded as a consequence. The parking and secure cycle parking will all be secured by condition. In terms of the historic environment, there's no negative impacts on archaeology and there's no intervisibility with above ground ground heritage assets. In terms of flood risk and drainage, again, the scheme's been subject to interrogation by all the relevant parties. So you have the Flood Authority and the Environment Agency and Severn Trent Water. None of them raise objections in principle on flood risk, and there are conditions in place to ensure that a development is undertaken in accordance with the flood risk assessment that has been submitted with the application. Conditions are also in place to ensure that satisfactory foul and surface water drainage is provided. Land contamination is also dealt with by mitigation condition and with a continuation of the process that has already started. In terms of building sustainability, the scheme provides for high thermal efficiency standards, will utilise solar roof panels and has a sustainable urban drainage system. Now, in terms of biodiversity, there's two particular parts to this. In terms of on-site mitigation of protected species and fauna, that's all been addressed by mitigation and will all be secured by condition. So you have swift bricks, bird boxes, bat bricks, bat boxes, hedgehog holes and bee holes all put in place as part of the development and all secured by condition. What there is consequence of the restoration of the site is a shortfall in the mitigation of mosaic habitat. Essentially, subsequent to the mitigation works that have been undertaken for contamination, self-set plants have taken root on site. So consequently, when the housing takes place on there, they won't obviously have a habitat there anymore. The normal process to cure off-site, but again, it's an issue that touches into the area of viability, which I'll come to next. So finally, bringing it all to a conclusion. Essentially, as an affordable housing scheme, the developers put forward the argument that to provide for this development to take place, that it wouldn't be viable to actually pay all the costs of education, health and off-site planting and open space provision. A report submitted by the developer, which we send out to an independent contractor, and that independent viability report came back with the conclusion that the affordable housing scheme would not be a viable development if the local planning authority were to require financial contributions towards education, health and open spaces, and that this would similarly apply in respect of off-site habitat mosaic mitigation, which of course would have a cost in itself. Consequently, as officers, we take a balance and bring this recommendation to committee. We consider that in this case, the delivery of the affordable housing scheme, the restoration of this contaminated site, would be of sufficient benefit in itself to outweigh the loss of any off-site financial contributions. Essentially, if the scheme doesn't go ahead as in its present form, then it wouldn't go ahead. The on-site biodiversity and landscaping provision also exceeds that of the extant planning permission, which is also a material consideration for us. Therefore, to wrap up proceedings, the recommendation is that the scheme complies with the aims of the local and national planning policies, and that the local planning authority has worked proactively to secure a scheme that improves the economic and social economic conditions of the locality. That's all subject to conditions and a Section 106 agreement in relation to the retention of the dwellings as affordable housing units. As such, that recommendation to members is brought forward as an approval subject to conditions and the Section 106.
Thank you. On this item, we have one speaker. If I could ask Jim Malkin, the agent, to come forward. When you're ready, please. It's 3 minutes on the clock.
Thank you. That's great. Good afternoon, members. Thank you for the opportunity to speak in support of Trent Indoor's planning application for the erection of 44 dwellings at the former household waste site at Pennycroft Lane, Uttoxeter. Your officer's report very clearly sets out the material planning considerations associated with this proposal, as well as confirming the existence of the fallback position with the extant planning consent for 49 homes on the site, and concludes that the development is acceptable in planning terms. The redevelopment of this site is clearly supported by planning policy. The scheme would result in the positive redevelopment of previously developed land and contaminated land, with the provision of much-needed affordable homes completed by Trent and Duff Housing. All new properties have been designed to comply with the most recent building regulations. This requires a reduction of 35% reduction in CO2 emissions, and they will also utilise renewable technologies, as Alan pointed out within his presentation. The detailed design of the scheme shows an attractive green development, which provides for an area of open space within the site, promotes a sense of community, as well as providing space around the dwellings to ensure that future occupiers are provided with appropriate levels of amenity. There are no issues regarding impacts on the amenity of existing residents, and the applicants have responded positively to all comments received during the application process. There are no issues with any technical matters associated with the scheme. No concerns have been raised in relation to flood risk, drainage, highway safety, or any negative impacts on heritage assets. All matters relating to contamination in relation to previous use of the land can be covered by the appropriate mitigation. The scheme proposes significant ecological enhancement, which will include new tree planting, native hedgerows, mixed habitats, wildflower meadow and bulb planting, as well as bat boxes, swift bricks, bee bricks and hedgehog holes in all boundary treatments. We therefore hope that you'll be able to follow your officer's recommendation and grant planning permission for this scheme, which provides for much needed affordable housing in East Oxeter. Thank you.
Thank you. If I can now open the floor up to the committee members for debate. Thank you. Councillor Jones.
Yeah, this application does look, provides some great affordable housing in an area that's really untidy, and I certainly quite welcome that. Could I ask Alan to explain the section 106 again? Because as far as the report was concerned, it looked like there was £273,000 worth of affordable of section 106 in there. Is that what makes it not viable and we're not getting any section 106, or is that the section 106 that we're getting? I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you were saying with regards to that.
Okay, so the financial, in terms of the financials, no, we're not getting the education, the health, and on the off-site or open space. If we were doing so, it would make the. But we are still getting a Section 106 agreement because we want to retain those buildings and dwellings as affordable dwellings.
That explains it. Thanks very much. Yeah.
Councillor Huckabee.
Yeah, look, it's just the waste is just collected from the site, from the bins. Yeah, so we're just talking about that. The bins are actually, the bin and bin positions are actually shown on the approved plan, so they're covered by the condition that says the development shall be built in accordance with the approved plans. We can add an additional condition to specifically say that the bin shall be provided before the development is first occupied, which is one of the same thing.
We do often use Section 106 to secure monies to pay for the bin, not the collection, because as an authority... No, the collection is a statutory duty of the authority to do that, not the provision of a bin. So we do use Section 106 for developers to provide the bin, but we don't always use Section 106. We can use planning conditions as well. So that's what Alan was saying. If committee are minded to, we could, you could request the condition. Yeah, but the provision of waste collection is covered by council tax.
Not as handy as, say, a required work. Where does the payment come from that pays for the extra work required by the waste disposal?
That's from council tax, when the properties are occupied.
That's the...
Council tax.
Do we have any further speakers? Councillor Whittaker.
Yeah, welcome. I mean, this is sat on the desk for a long while, and there's been so many proposals over the years. It's actually less houses than we first proposed, as Alan Harvey pointed out. I am disappointed the fact that there's no provision for health or education in this, because whatever you've got there, it puts a strain on the resources of your doctor. And I think it is a shame there can't be some agreement. Okay, we've got the affordable homes, but they probably wouldn't have been built if they hadn't been affordable homes. It would have been a different situation. And we need those, but we've still got to make provision for the people who live in these houses. And I do think it just puts a strain on local resources when it happens and we've got nothing to put anything in the coffers. I understand the viability around this, but I think there should be a little bit of a playoff on it. There should be so much in there to make this happen without being able to say, no, done the viability, there's no money left in the pot. Because this is a long-term proposal. It's going to be around for our lifetimes, and resources are stretched. And that's just a comment. I don't think there's anything we can do about it, but that's just a comment on this. But I welcome the proposals. And if they've got the responsibility for the culvert throughout with the safety, and also it looks like there's a lot of undergrowth around that culvert, which if that's obviously that will be maintained and trimmed back so it doesn't prevent any flooding on site, which we've had at the other site in Toxteth where the culverts are sort of inadequate and are being blocked up. So as long as provision for that, I'm happy with everything else in this application.
Councillor Legg.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to ask that, yeah, anything that goes there is going to be an improvement on it. But when the trees are planted, can I ask that we have some substantial ones as well, please? Not all whips and scrawny things. And also, could I ask how long will they be maintained for, please?
In terms of the, we can obviously add an informative to the application in terms of the type of trees. In terms of the landscaping, it's the standard requirement for them to look after for 5 years. One thing I will point out with the site is it's going to be run by Trent and Dove, so they're going to be responsible for the maintenance of the whole site. So it's not going out to 34 different individuals. So it'll be in their best interest too, obviously. But I mean, obviously you've got to come back on something on that, but 5 years is a standard requirement for it.
Can I condition that it's doubled, please?
I think that's a decision for members. As I say, it's standard practice for it to be 5 years. It's what's reasonable, and if members think it's reasonable for 10 years, then obviously you can vote on it. But there's nothing I can add one way or the other on that.
That's fine then. I'd like it doubled to 10 years, because I feel 5 years isn't enough when you're starting out with young saplings. Thank you.
So before we move on further to the debate, if I can just ask if you'd like to submit that as a formal motion, and then we'll take a vote on it.
Yes, please. Is it a motion or a condition?
It's a motion. It's a motion to amend the condition.
It's a motion, then I'd like that we extend it. Thank you.
Thank you. Seconder for that, please. No, Councillor Huckabee. Can I see a show of hands for all those in favour of that motion? All those against? Any abstentions? Amendment carried. Thank you. We'll move on to the debate. Do you have any further speakers? Councillor Holton.
Hello, yes. Can we just clarify again, please, the maintenance of the culvert? Did you say earlier that would be the responsibility for the residents, or that indeed Trent and Dulf will be responsible for maintaining that.
Trent and Dulf will be responsible as the owners of the site for the maintenance of the drainage channel as it goes through the site.
Thank you.
Do we have any further speakers on this item?
So I'll move them up. I can do the motion if you like, because I've got the wording of the condition.
Thank you. We don't have any further speakers on this item, so just before I bring it to the vote and just give a briefing of what we've discussed. So basically we're looking at an application for a scheme of 44 affordable homes, redevelopment of a contaminated site. Obviously there's financial implications with the 106 monies being used as a way of affordable housing. So if have a proposer take this forward, application forward, right? Councillor Whittaker.
Yeah, I propose we accept the application as the officer's recommendation with the conditions we've outlined.
Seconder, Councillor Jones. Thank you. Thank you. That's a unanimous vote. So the application's accepted with all the conditions that have been discussed. Thank you. We'll move on to the next application. Just give members a moment to let everyone who wants to leave the room. Thank you. We'll move on to the second application. Application number P20210073, which is for the change of use to a residential caravan site for two gypsy families, each with two caravans, including laying of hard standing, erection of two ancillary amenity buildings, and installation of two septic tanks. Location: Craythorne Therapy and Small Animals Farm, Craythorne Road, Stretton, Staffordshire, DE130AZ. Can I ask the officer to present the case, please?
Good afternoon. As the Chair said, this is application 2021-00373, site on Craythorne Road. The site address has been amended from Stretton to Rolston-on-Dove. The application is for change of use of land to a residential caravan site for two gypsy families, each with two caravans. One would be a mobile home or static van, and a space for storage of a touring van, including the laying of hard standing, erection of two ancillary amenity buildings, and the installation of two septic tanks. So the site is outlined in black on this plan. The hatched line, it is in red on there, not on this screen, in red, that is the settlement boundary. The pink area to the north, that is the conservation area. And the hatched area, green, on this plan, shows the strategic green gap. Craythorne Road. This is Beacon Road here, and in Craythorne Road that runs all the way through to Stretton, which is to the southeast. The triangular site here to the north and side of Craythorne Road is a site with an approval for 22 retirement bungalows, which is now under construction. Just slightly wider context to show the site. The area of land, the field to the south that I'm outlining here, to the south and to the east, is also in the ownership of the applicant and has authorised use for horse grazing. There's only the area outlined in black at the frontage of the site that forms the subject of this application. To the east, further along Craythorne Road, is the recreation ground for Ralston-on-Dove. As a bit more site context, the triangular area mentioned previously, that is the site of the 22 bungalows. You can clearly see where the access, because that's under construction now, the site access is this here. The site access is here, so there is just a short distance between the two access points. You can clearly visibly see the existing hard standing on the site, which is the slab of the previous stables that were on this element of the site. So the and the field to the south and east is the horse grazing field that has consent. So the site layout plan, the area at the frontage forms part of the application site, and the remainder is the site in the ownership of the applicant. Site layout plan, so the existing site access, which is a gated access that is set back from the road by 10 metres. The development would provide two pitches, each one either side of the access, each with a mobile home or static caravan, an amenity building, so that's the two mobile homes, the amenity building and the dark areas, a septic tank, so there's one there and one there for each plot, storage area for a touring caravan, hard standing and parking area. The hard standing on the western side of the site is existing. There would be a new area of hard standing created on the eastern side of the site. The frontage to the road comprises existing high mature hedging that is all to be retained. The site frontage has a frontage of approximately 105 metres in length. An example of the amenity building, so a brick-built structure with a tiled roof, and with the maximum height being 3.9 metres. Some photos of the site. The existing gated access set back from Craythorne Road, that is a 10 metre setback, so it allows the vehicle to pull in front of the gate and to open the gate, so not obstructing the road. And this one just shows the position of the existing access within Craythorne Road. As previously mentioned, the existing mature high hedging along the road frontage, either side of the access, which is shown either side on these two photographs, would be retained, and there is a condition recommended to ensure the retention. This would continue to screen the site from the road as it does at the moment. It would also ensure the retention of the green corridor along the road with little impact on the strategic green gap, as this site is such a small site and all the hedging would be retained. So the western pitch, this shows the slab from the previous stables that were on site. They've since they were in very poor condition and dilapidated and been removed from the site. And this is the area of hard standing to the west. There was previous complaints regarding rubbish and storage on site, which has been ongoing, although the appearance of the site has been improved and, as mentioned, the dilapidated stables have been removed from the site. So the eastern pitch, this is currently just part of the field. So an area of hard standing would be created here. There is post and rail fencing along here, which separates this area from the remainder of the grazing field. And the hedging to Craythorne Road, identified here, shows that you can't see through to the road. The grazing field to the south of the site that would remain. This does show a slight slope of the land from the south downwards and through the site. The area of the site is actually the flattest part of the overall site and the field. So some views of Craythorne Road, and the top one here, the bungalow site, is on the left behind the trees and hedging, and this shows the junction of Beacon Road and Craythorne Road. The existing footpath finishes approximately here. As part of the bungalow development, there is a footpath approved from the start of the bungalow development, so the nearest point to Beacon Road, a further footpath that would link in to this footpath on in Beacon Road. So moving on to the details of the report. No objections from consultees apart from Staffs County Highways. Who have recommended refusal on sustainability grounds, that the site would be reliant on the private car with no access to sustainable modes of transport. So there is a risk of conflict between vehicles and pedestrians as no street lighting or public footpaths and a comparatively narrow road. Visibility displays and drainage of the hard standing would be required if recommended for approval. Moving on to the comments from the Rosnondove Parish Council, who have raised an objection. Significant concerns in the village, poor quality submission, conflict with neighbourhood plan policies D2 and H1, conflict with local plan policies 1, 8, 18, 19 and 29. No statement of need for the accommodation, narrow lit country road with no footpath, highway safety issues, increased traffic on an already busy road, no details of surface water drainage, the road already floods, the site could lead to additional flooding, and the site sits within the strategic green gap. Further representation was received from the Parish Council the day before publication of the report, which raised further concerns regarding flooding following Storm Babbitt, with the use of the land causing more flooding in the road from the runoff from the site with the additional hard standing that is proposed. One of the photographs that was submitted with the Parish Council comments that relates directly to this part of the road was included in the committee report for members. So former Councillor Toon and Councillor Locke have sought advice on when the application was likely to be determined. 80 individual objections have been received in relation to the proposals, and those have been summarised into subject areas. Into some subject areas. The principle of the development is outside of the settlement boundary and within the strategic green gap. It conflicts with local plan policies and no need identified, and set a precedent for further development. In terms of highways, poor access and narrow, unlit road with no footpath, highway and pedestrian safety issues. in terms of amenity, the site would be visible from the road and the buildings would be close to the road. In terms of flood and drainage, no surface water drainage provided, an increase in runoff into the road where there is an existing flooding issue. And in terms of natural environment, the lack of reference to biodiversity. A number of further of other general comments were made on the use and non-material planning considerations. In terms of policies, the NPPF, the National Planning Policy for Traveller Sites, which is known as the PPTS, East Staff's Local Plan, East Staff's Design Guide, Car Parking Standards and Ralston Neighbourhood Plan. In this case, there is other legislation and policy that is also relevant, and that is the Caravan Sites and Controlled Development Act 1960, particular Section 29, Caravan Sites Act 1968, Section 13, and also the Derbyshire Peak District National Park Authority and East Staffordshire Gypsy and Traveller Accommodation Assessment Report from July 2023. This is known as the GTAA. This is yet to be endorsed by all commissioning authorities, although so it has yet to be published, but it has been endorsed by the Cabinet of East Staffs. The PPTS, the National Planning Policy for Gypsies and Travellers, requires that local planning authorities set pitch targets and identifies that the level of local provision and the need for sites are relevant in the consideration of planning applications for gypsy sites. The GTAA provides the pitch requirements for the borough and, whilst endorsed by Cabinet, as I've mentioned, has not yet been published due to not all commissioning authorities endorsing this. However, weight can be given to the findings of this report. Right, moving on to the principle of the development. Whilst outside a settlement boundary, the site is only a short distance from Ralston Village and its facilities, and two pitches would not dominate the village or place undue pressure on local infrastructure in compliance with the PPTS. The size and location of the development complies with policy SP19. The site sits just 220 metres from the settlement boundary, and the 22 bungalows, as previously mentioned, sits just to the north of the development. The GTAA identifies a need for 8 pitches in the period of 2020 to 2024, with no pitches provided within the borough to date. Therefore, a current shortfall at 2023 is of 6 pitches. The site would provide 2 of the 6 pitch shortfall. The GTAA also identifies that small family pitches are preferred, and this is endorsed by the police. So 2 family pitches are considered to be appropriate. Neighbourhood Plan Policy H1, in terms of housing, restricts new housing to the settlement. Whilst outside of settlement, the site is only a short distance away and fulfils the other criteria in respecting the sensitive landscape and the habitats through the retention of the existing hedging. Moving on to design and impact on the character appearance of the area, the size and layout of the pitches are considered acceptable, providing an appropriate level of accommodation. The retention of the existing mature boundary hedging would screen the development from the road. National guidance identifies that amenity blocks should be provided and storage for touring caravans should be provided for each pitch. It's also often it's recognised that often residential plots are combined with business use, but this is not proposed in this case. A condition is recommended to restrict the use to residential only. The site sits within flood zone 1, that is the application site and the field immediately to the south, and whilst there is no evidence that any flooding on Craythorne Road is created by runoff from the site, a surface water drainage condition is recommended, I'll discuss the flooding issues further when I refer to the update sheet that was provided yesterday. Moving on to residential amenity, no adverse impact on the amenities of nearby residents given the separation distance and natural screening of the site. Turning to highway matters, an objection has been raised by Highways as detailed previously. It's recognised that Craythorne Road is a narrow but wide enough for two cars to pass and has no footpath. However, the site sits only a short distance from the 22 approved bungalows. There's 98 metres between the access of the site and the access to the bungalows and from the settlement boundary, which is approximately 220 metres and is considered to be a sustainable location. The village recreation ground sits 200 metres to the east along Craythorne Road from the site, used by the village by car and walking, so pedestrians in the road is an existing scenario along Craythorne Road. The site has an existing access and a condition is recommended to ensure appropriate visibility at the access. The existing gated access to the field, which has an authorised use for the keeping of horses and stables, this access, the use of it in itself for the keeping of horses, could generate daily vehicle movements to and from the site, not dissimilar to the proposed two residential units. Moving on to historic environment, Rolston Conservation Area sits approximately 150 metres to the northwest, as I identified at the beginning on the plan, beyond the approved 22 bungalows, and the closest listed building is approximately 700 metres to the southeast. The proposals would therefore have no adverse impact on historic assets. Strategic green infrastructure, landscaping and biodiversity. The size and scale of the development would ensure no adverse impact on the surrounding landscape and the strategic green gap, with a significant distance and landscape retained between Rolston and Stretton. All existing hedging and trees would be retained, which would retain existing habitats and the green corridor along Craythorne Road, with a condition recommended to ensure retention. Before I come to the conclusion, I'd just like to discuss the update report that was circulated yesterday. This includes details of additional comments from both from the Parish Council, a local resident, and Councillor Locke re ongoing flood events in Rolston Village as a whole, and in particular Beacon Road and the Craythorne Road Junction. The comments suggest that the additional hard standing and buildings at the site would increase flood water in Craythorne Road. The Flood Authority at Staffs County Council have been reconsulted on the specific additional comments that have been made from the Parish Council and from the local residents. Their response is that they are well aware of the flooding issues in Rolston and have been involved in those for some time, and the site is within the catchment that contributes runoff. However, the additional impermeable area to be created is only a small fraction of the overall catchment area, so would not have a large impact on the existing flood risk. The surface water drainage condition should incorporate sustainable drainage systems to restrict runoff to greenfield rates. The update paper therefore suggests an amendment to Condition 6, the drainage condition, to amend to include sustainable drainage systems, and there is also a recommendation to add the septic tank details to Condition 2. That covers the update paper and the up-to-date information on flooding. Therefore, conclude it's considered the proposals comply with the MPPF, the PPTS, the ESB local plan, the design guide, car parking standards, and the Rolston neighbourhood plan. We've worked proactively with the applicant to ensure the best possible development. The recommendation is therefore to grant permission subject to conditions as per the main report and the update sheet. Thank you.
Thank you. We've got a number of speakers on this item. Just for members' information, we won't have Councillor Simon Gaskin present today. So if we could start with the first person, Claire Stewart, Parish Councillor. If you could come forward, please, and press the button when you're ready. Thank you.
Right, hello, thank you. The Parish Council received an unprecedented number of objections from residents to this application. Objections to this are made on the following grounds. Rosamond Dove Neighbourhood Development Plan made in 2021, Policy H1, requires development to take place.
Sorry, just ask you to speak up a bit or pull the microphone a bit further in front of you. Thank you.
Shall I start again?
Please.
Is that better? I've turned the volume up a bit. Is that better? Right. Is that better? Aha. Right. That explains why we didn't hear very well when the other gentleman spoke. Right. Start again then. Right. Good afternoon and thank you. The Parish Council received an unprecedented number of objections from residents to this application, and objections are made on the following grounds. The Rosamond Dove Neighbourhood Development Plan made in 21, Policy H1, requires development to take place within the settlement boundary of Rosamond Dove, which this site is outside. Policy D2 lists criteria to be applied to these proposals, and it breaches these due to the lack of pedestrian access and lack of sustainable drainage system to manage the surface water runoff. In addition, it's located in a strategic green gap, which was introduced to prevent the coalescence of Rolston with Stretton and Burton. The design and access statement refers to permitted development on land adjacent to the site, but that's not in the gap. It's noted the planners feel such a small development would not adversely impact the gap. However, this is the second such development to be approved and treated in isolation. Craythorn Road is a dangerous, narrow, unlit national speed limit country lane with no pedestrian access. The permitted 22 bungalow site on the road was approved before the NDP and had to install a pedestrian access to it. With no pedestrian access, there'll be more traffic, and the limited access and lack of visibility displays to the site on the narrow country road will be problematic for vehicles to enter and exit the site safely. The PC believes also the following are not being met: SP8 and SP18. It's not within or on the edge of the settlement, being completely divorced from Rolston. It's not in easy reach of local services. The closest bus stop is over 800 metres away. It's not essential to the support and viability of an existing lawful business or creation of a new business, and it's not supported by justification for being in a rural location. The local plan policy requires good access to schools and services, but we're talking about walking down a road with no pavement or lighting for a good length of it, making it unsafe for the children to do that. Evidence and assessment for statement of need for traveller accommodation for SP19 was not identified initially, and no additional need had been identified for new pitches that we were aware of. The new document that's referred to has not yet been made available in the public domain, so we've not seen it, nor the residents, and it's not been endorsed by all public authorities. Should that mean that it could only carry limited weight then until it is actually fully ratified? SP29 policy states the SBC will seek to protect, maintain and enhance biodiversity and geodiversity. No biodiversity assessment was submitted with this application. With reference to policy SP1, it doesn't demonstrate compliance with principles of sustainable development. Introduction of urban development will harm the open character of the countryside and the strategic green gap. There's no attempt being made to improve the landscape. In conclusion, whilst Rosamond Dove Parish Council elects on these grounds and respectfully request that councillors move to reject this application. Thank you.
Thank you. If I can have Simon Appleby come forward, please.
Well, on 20th of October, Ralston suffered its fifth major flood in the last 22 years, with seven village roads closed, including School Lane, Chapel Lane and Station Road, which were closed by residents after their flood defences were threatened. The flooded area at the bottom of Beacon Road is not caused by overflowing Dove or the Alderbrook, but by the overwhelmed drains. The drains are again swollen with rainwater and water actually flowing down the road itself. Beacon Hill and its fields act as a sponge in times of heavy rain, but water runoff occurs when it's saturated. Two fields make up the hill on Craythorne Road, the applicant's field and the next door farmer's field. Both slope down towards the village. Craythorne Road has had water running down it on many occasions in periods of persistent rain. This water is made up of two parts, one water running on the road itself and water overflowing from the south side ditch near its junction with Beacon Road. The south side ditch runs at the bottom of the two fields mentioned. A runoff filled it on the 20th. The new flood defence was overwhelmed and the ditch overflowed. The flow of water on the road itself began at the applicant's field. Originally it said in point 9.9, only one pitch was supplied, that this was not the case, but three pitches show. One, that there was a flow of water starting at the applicant's field running onto the road, and that was the cause of it. Number two showed a flow of water, actually a stream, running down the applicant's field entrance to the road. And number three, a picture showed the applicant's field where two caravans and an amenity block are to be situated, which is actually under standing water. So we know that the start of the water on the road is the applicant's field. Although originally 9.9 of the planner says there's no evidence that this water originated from this site, this is clearly not the case and that was misleading. At the time, we were not aware of any environmental agency or staff's flood team comment, so it was said and considered that the plan would not adversely impact on drainage or flooding onto the land, and we clearly think that is not the case. At the time, no drainage or flood work by the applicant is planned, and simply not enough work has been done unless in our view. Water flowing off the applicant's field has been clearly evidenced and has happened more than once. More water comes off the applicant's field than the farmer's field, and it has to be questioned whether that's because of the existing hard standing on the applicant's field already. We firmly believe that extra hard standing and brick-built buildings will worsen the flooding risk elsewhere, and local residents are deeply concerned at this additional planned development when the full impact of the bungalow development has not even yet been seen. We should ask for a full risk assessment and in its absence, refuse this application if you can, please. Thank you.
If I could ask Gavin Sutherland to come forward, please. Do we have a Gavin Sutherland? No Gavin Sutherland. Okay, I'll move over to members, so I'll open up the floor for debate. Councillor Hussain.
Thank you, Chair. Can I just ask the officer to assist me with the slide which includes the Staffordshire County Council's recommendations, please, the objections one.
You mean the highlight?
Yes, please, yes. Thank you. So, can I ask the officers to assist us? Have we received any response from the applicant regarding the objection raised by the Staffordshire County Councils? And also, my understanding that this includes a significant cost implications as well. So in that case, if it goes ahead, I believe there are some safety measures need to be done in the highways land. At that case, who is going to bear the cost? One. And do we have any further comment from the applicant regarding the highways concern? And also, at the same note, we know there is some explanation from the authority regarding the flood risk. Am I right to say the risk is still significant?
The applicant has not made any response to the highway comments. That was, as a planning authority, we have assessed those comments and assessed the site and come up with the recommendation that we have. I'm not sure that I understand what you're referring to instead in terms of cost implications and the safety measures on highway land. I'm not sure what you're referring to.
In terms of if we want to mitigate those factors, there could be some cost implications. So who is going to pay the money?
In terms of mitigation, you mean what exactly? Sorry, I'm...
Staffordshire County Councils are recommending there could be some safety measure can be considered. In that case, for example, if they want to put the sign up or any other measures, if they want to go ahead to mitigate this risk, who is going to pay the money?
There isn't any recommendation for any mitigation measures. And that isn't part of the application. Those are the comments that are made by Highways, who have raised an objection to the proposals based on sustainability of the site. The officer report is suggesting that the circumstances of the site are such that they overcome those recommendations for refusal due to the location of the site. And there is a condition on to ensure that there's an appropriate visibility display at the access that may involve the cutting back slightly of the hedges. But as far as I'm aware, those hedges form part of the application site, so they wouldn't require any... they're not on highway land as far as I'm aware.
Thank you. So, are we saying that we will be minimizing the light risk by cutting the hedges? Street light, is the street light, cutting the hedges is the alternative of the street light?
No, the road will remain as it is. It will remain a two-way road without a pedestrian footpath, without any lighting, etc. There isn't any off-site highway works proposed. There is a condition that requires the applicant to ensure the appropriate visibility display is provided at the access, which may involve cutting away slightly the hedges either side of the access. Those are the only works that would be required. So I asked about the flood risk. I mean, the county flood team have indicated that providing the drainage condition is amended to include sustainable drainage system, then they would have no objections to the application. They do not consider there would be a significant impact on flooding, providing that sustainable drainage system is put in place within the site.
Councillor Legg, please.
Thank you. I wonder if you could help and explain to me what a sustainable drainage thing looks like. What is it? Is it just going to be like a pond with water in it, or is it going to be a tank that's set underground? Do we have a choice in this matter, please?
The condition would require them to provide details of the sustainable drainage system, and that would go to the flood authority to look at to decide whether or not the scheme is appropriate for the site. So the people that have asked for the condition will be the ones who would agree the detail, and it can take many forms. It could take the form of a pond or a tank, there are all sorts of different ways that it can come about, and it would be for the flood authority to make that decision whether what they submit in terms of the details is appropriate. At the bungalow site on the opposite side of the road, there is a within the triangular element, I think I mentioned this morning at the site visit, there is a pond to be included in that, as well as drainage structures within that. That was the ongoing discussions on that took several months with the flood authority to get to the scheme that we eventually approved.
Yeah, because I noticed as we went past this morning on the site visit, the pond looked rather full. I'd call it more of a lake than a pond.
I don't think it's finished yet. I think the actual drainage structures to go around that are still to be put in place.
Yes, I'd be happy if we could have something like that on that site.
Councillor Slater.
I think the lack of biodiversity ecological statement is a bit of a mistake, really. I'm surprised we haven't asked for one, but there you go. But can I suggest that if we do approve this application, we have a condition that says that the applicant will plant some suitable trees, put some bird and bat boxes up, that sort of thing, and also perhaps the trees might help to further reduce the flood risk as well. I noticed they own the field further back. Can we suggest they could use part of that field for ecological and flood prevention work as well? I don't know if that's allowed.
As the adjacent field is within their ownership and identified in the blue line on the application, then conditions could relate to that area of land. So it would be, if you wanted details to be submitted, perhaps a condition that says details to be submitted of additional tree planting, bird bat boxes, or any other ecological enhancement measures. I don't.
So I'd like to propose a motion for that condition then to be added.
Right, okay. So just clarify exactly for the...
So the motion is then that we want the applicant to address ecological and biodiversity issues and maybe assist with further flood reduction by planting trees and adding bird and bat boxes on the site or part of their land.
Yeah, thank you. Do I have a seconder for Michael's motion? Yeah, Councillor Holton. Can I see a show of hands for all those in favour of that? All those against? Any abstentions? Thank you. Councillor Huckabee, did you want to come in?
Yeah, going back to the drainage issue, it's obviously one of the most...
If I just speak generally about drainage, so applicants for sites less than a hectare aren't required to demonstrate sustainable drainage. So that's why, you know, we haven't got the details before us. We're proposing a condition and those details of an exact, you know, the, what the sustainable drainage system would look like would be conditioned. So if development is carried out in a, you know, not in accordance with those, then that would be enforceable. Not necessarily by the local lead flood authority, but by us as a planning authority. So we might seek advice from, you know, from the county council on the adequacy of that drainage system.
On the wider issue, though, we have...
That has already taken place, and as the letter from Mr. Appleby pointed out, that there has, over the last 18 months, there has been a series of flood mitigation works that have been undertaken within Rolleston. There has been an ongoing problem for years in Rolleston that the Flood Authority are fully aware of, and as the County Council, they are trying to deal with that. That is outside of the remit of this application. They have commented on the full details that were submitted by Mr. Appleby, who submitted all of those and all the photographs. The whole thing that was submitted by Mr. Appleby and the Parish Council were submitted to the Flood Authority, who are the people who know what's going on in Rolleston in terms of flooding, and their response is what I read out to you, that they are satisfied that the slight increase in hard standing at the site would not have a significant issue, impact on flooding onto Craythorne Road, providing there is a sustainable drainage system put in place.
I heard the word adequate. Sustainable means nothing to me.
No, it's about how it's put together, that it's done in a sustainable way. Now, you keep referring to the word adequate. That is what's in the reason for the condition. It is not the actual wording of the condition. It's to make sure that there is a drainage facility put in place that deals with the appropriate drainage for the site. And that is what the Flood Authority have asked for.
And if I could just add to that, there are standards for sustainable drainage systems, and that's what the LLFA look at.
The size of developments attract either more or less.
We can just keep to this application, please, Martin.
So, drainage, if sustainable means adequate.
Councillor Jones.
Thank you, Chair. Am I understanding this correctly? The hard standing is what is causing the increase in the flood, the concern. There was hard standing there before and had been there for many years. I don't know if you're able to tell us how many years. But how much is that hard standing going to be increased by with the new plan for two sections of hard standing, if you understand that? Do you?
The hard standing to the western side of the access, so as we went in on the right hand side, that will remain as it is, so that hard standing will remain. There was already stable buildings on that slab that we saw this morning, the remaining slab, so that slab will remain, but there was stables there, so quite substantial amount of buildings that were on there on a concrete slab, so that's existing. The only any additional hard standing would be an area on the left-hand side of the access as we looked at it this morning. So where there is grass and overgrown land at the moment, immediately to the left of the access, there would be a certain amount of that as hard standing. If I just go back to, if you see that plan, the area outlined in the dotted line would be the additional area of hard standing.
So the additional area of hard standing is about 30%, 33%? Something like that.
Possibly. I did have a measurement.
But the majority of it was already there and has been there for some considerable time.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Whittaker.
I'm struggling with this whole application, to be honest. I'm trying to balance up the fact our own plan and what's within that. The work that's been done of what's needed in the county. And the fact that if anybody else bought that field and they wanted to put a house on that, there'd be no justification whatsoever to put a house or any building on our site because there's no business. It doesn't need anything. It's not sustainable, whatever. So I'm struggling with that, the moral side of that. I haven't seen any information on the septic tanks, which I think if there is any flooding, I would think that rather than a soakways, which might be sort of in danger of not working, I think the least you could have is a treatment plant, which I know that's building regs or whatever, but at least you're compensated for some of the problems you would have if it's a wet site and you're out on a soakway. And I know the law's changed regarding septic tanks, that if you've got one in, you can't sell your house if it's going feeding into the brookway. You've got to put a proper system in to be able to sell your house, and that's the problem around that. There's no services on the site. There's no electric on the site. At present, no water on the site. So you don't know whether you're dealing with, you're going to have a generator for 2 years while they put the electric on or what's going. I just feel like, I don't know where I stand on this at all. I'm just sort of fighting with the three problems, really, and the two sides to the equation. Looking at the picture where they're sighted, I don't know where that is just a... I don't suppose that is the sort of correct where they're actually going to go, because there's no way you'd actually sort of service that hedge behind those buildings, because you wouldn't have enough to get a machine down there to cut that hedge or anything. But I'm just struggling with the concept of it. I know we've got to supply these sites, and I know we can condition it that it's for residential only and the numbers who use the site. But I'm still all over the place at this time, I'm afraid.
Just to come back to you about the septic tanks, I did make an inquiry after you mentioned it this morning on the site visit. As far as building regs are concerned, it could be a septic tank or it could be a treatment system, and it is really dependent on the individual preference. Building regs did say on this particular site, because they have already looked at the application as a consultee, because they asked whether or not building regulations approval would be required for the siting of the mobile home and for the amenity building, and they'd confirmed that it was, and there's an informative on the recommended to make sure the applicant is aware that building regs would be required. It would also be required for the septic tank. So basically it's a preference in terms of whether it's a treatment system or whether it's a septic tank. And he said in this particular case the septic tank was probably the most obvious choice.
But that's no way we can't condition anything, just say it's one treatment plant does two sites rather than two separate tanks.
They've applied for two separate septic tanks, one for each pit. So that's what is for consideration.
So we've got no say on that. That is their personal choice what they're going to do.
Yeah. Sorry, you also mentioned need. The GTAA is a requirement of the local authority to show the number of pitches that are required, and there are dates in which the requirements are. We have not provided any for a number of years, and we have a shortfall till the end of next year of 8 pitches, as the GTAA has identified. As an authority, we have no pitches that are owned by the authority, so we have no alternative accommodation to offer to any gypsy or travellers within the borough. So we are in a shortfall situation, and we don't have alternative accommodation to provide. There are only two other private approved gypsy sites in the borough, and they are completely full. There's no vacancies.
Yeah, I understand that, but here we're considering a site outside a settlement boundary, unsustainable, which is not supported by the highways.
Councillor Legg.
Thank you, Chair. Could I ask, please, how big the amenity buildings are? What area they take up, please?
I've got a note of that here. They are 6 metres by 4 metres, so 22 metres squared each, with an eaves height of 2.6 and a tiled roof height of 3.9 metres.
Could I also ask what would be carried out in these buildings, please?
It's recognised in planning policy that an amenity building should be provided on a gypsy pitch, and they provide for a bathroom, shower room, kitchen, dining area is the norm.
Right. Can I also ask, if we were to provide these and give the planning consent, could we condition that they stay a building like that and not become a dwelling?
I mean, they are identified as an amenity building, and that is recognised nationally as what these provide. I think the PPTS does identify that these should be provided for each pitch, and it's effectively like a utility, so washing machine and all that sort of thing in there, so that those aren't in the mobile home or static. They are described as an amenity building within the development description, so I don't know whether it would be necessary to put a condition on or relevant to put a condition on to say that they can't become a residential accommodation.
Thank you.
Councillor Huckabee.
The size of this development is such that we wouldn't have a Section 106 agreement.
No, I'm saying we should
have. Oh, sorry, I misunderstand.
The philosophy that S106 covers the increased pressure on an existing community to take account of those pressures the new development might bring, so I ought to have it in mind that new development might bring pressure onto existing communities. Therefore, when I read in the immediate vicinity, in accordance with SB 27 DP 7, I ought to know that, and I apologise for not knowing what they say. So I'm just seeking guidance on that.
Just while we get the answer to that question, do we have any further speakers? Councillor Smedley. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm really struggling like the other people have mentioned about the flooding aspect and the impact potentially of additional hard standing in the two amenity buildings. I know what you've told us about the ad, that we're going to add to it in respect of that, but I still struggle with it because obviously Ralston does have a great problem with flooding surface water and also from the river. The planning policy for traveller sites does state do not locate sites in areas at high risk of flooding given the particular vulnerability of caravans, and also local planning authorities should limit new traveller site developments in open countryside that is away from existing settlements.
The site does sit within flood zone 1. Therefore, the Environment Agency have raised no comments at all about the application. So we are reliant on the Flood Authority at Staffs County Council to make comments in terms of the surface water flooding. And as you're aware of, I've given their comments on this particular site.
Sorry, you said something else as well. What was the second half?
The site should not be in open countryside. Well, whilst the field is outside settlement boundary, it's considered that its proximity to the settlement is, so it's the site entrance is 220 metres from the settlement boundary. So whilst it is outside of the settlement, it's only a very short distance to the settlement itself and the services that the settlement provides. So in our opinion, it is although outside a settlement, it is a sustainable location in terms of the proximity to the village and its services.
Thank you. Could I just ask, what does flood zone 1, what does it actually mean?
It means the least vulnerable to flooding. So other areas immediately surrounding and to the west of the site are in higher flood zones. They're in flood zones 1 and 2, but 2 and I think some are in 3, but the site itself is definitely within flood zone 1. I've double checked it and triple checked it, and it is definitely flood zone 1. So the flooding issues are surface water flooding, and I think the part of it is that it's exacerbated by the slight slope on the field that is immediately to the south, sloping up to Beacon Hill, I believe it is. So when the land is, it becomes saturated from rainwater, that's when water starts to flow through. But the Flood Authority is saying that there's a sustainable drainage system put in place, they do not consider a significant impact on any additional flood water onto Craythorne Road. And the site does sit that 200 metres from the nearest residential properties as well on Beacon Road. So there is that gap between the site and the properties in terms of flooding. I understand that there is significant flooding around the junction of Beacon Road and Craythorne Road, and that was identified in the photographs that were submitted. But immediately at the point of the site, whilst there was water on the road, the Flood Authority have said that they haven't got concerns.
And if I just come back to Councillor Huckabee's query on Strategic Policy 27, this is a policy that relates to climate change, water body management and flooding. The policy starts off to say proposals in flood risk areas or proposals that would affect such areas will only be permitted where they would not cause unacceptable harm to the following interests: the protection and storage capacity of the floodplain, access to watercourses for maintenance, the characteristics of surface water runoff, the integrity of fluvial defences, the drainage function of natural water course system, or the necessity for additional public finances for flood defence works. Don't believe any of those characteristics, you know, apply here. Then the policy also goes on to say the Borough Council will require a flood risk assessment in areas at risk of flooding specifically land within flood zones 2 and 3, so this area is flood zone 1, as we've just discussed, and the proposals that have the potential to generate significant volumes of water runoff due to their size, and what you've heard this afternoon and is set out in the report and update is that this proposal, as assessed by the local Leeds Flood Authority, will not generate significant volumes of water runoff.
Thank you. Councillor Slater.
Thank you. Going back to football, please forgive me. Would it be a good idea if this committee and certainly the Parish Council knew what mitigation measures would be required to move away from flood zone 1? You know, is that something? There's nothing we can do about that now, is there? I take it. We can't find out what measures, or it would be a good idea, wouldn't it, to know what they have to do in Ralston to go from zone 1 to zone 0, if that's possible on that hillside. I'm just thinking the hillside slopes down onto the road, isn't it? Then
is not something that can be covered. It is the Environment Agency flood maps that identify the flood zones.
Yeah.
So we have to be guided by those. Those are the most up-to-date information that is available, and the site does definitely sit within flood zone 1, which is the least vulnerable. It doesn't require a flood risk assessment to be submitted with a planning application in flood zone 1.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any further speakers? Councillor Holton.
Thank you. In reading the report, I noted there were concerns from residents with regards to further occupants on the site in the future. Can we just clarify again that in the event of that ever being the case, that it would come back to planning?
There is a condition to restrict it to 2 pitches as submitted. Any further pitches requested would be a further planning application, and can all, by all means, make sure that that is something that comes before members as a committee.
Okay, thank you. And just something else to be noted, really. So I think I asked this morning, in fact I did. The owner of the land has occupied the land for some time in the area, I believe. Have we got any, there's nothing in the report or anything I've read, is there any indication that they've tried to move on to their own land with caravans before, or occupy the land without coming to planning?
The applicant declared that they were the owner of the site when they submitted their application in March 2021. I have no further knowledge or evidence of any other sites or anything. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any further speakers on the item? No, thank you. No further speakers, so just summing up the application for the caravan site. Obviously, you've heard the comments from the committee members. It's an application outside of the settlement boundary. There's been significant objections raised. The GTAA identifies a need for 8 pitches in a period of 2020 to 24. So far, nothing to date. Whilst outside the settlement boundary, the site is within reach of facilities within nearby villages, sits within flood zone 1 and considered to be a sustainable location from officers' recommendations. So, moving forward, do we have anybody to move the item forward? Thank you. Do we have a seconder for that? Councillor Slater. Right, so we've got a proposer, we've got a seconder. Can we see a show of hands for all those in favour of the application? All those against? Any abstentions? Yep, thank you. This application's carried for approval. Thank you. If any members of the public would like to leave, if you could do now, please, before we move on to the next part of the meeting. Thank you. Thank you. If we could all sit down, stay and remain seated, please. We still do have items remaining. Agenda item 6. Can I request that members have considered the appeals received and determined? Noted. Thank you. Agenda item 7. Can I request members to consider the planning permission circulated within the agenda? Thank you. We will now move into the private part of the meeting and request that the public and press and public leave the room. That in accordance with section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting, as it is likely, in view of nature of the business to be transacted or nature of the proceedings, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in paragraphs of Part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before each item number on the agenda